1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's pray. Father God, we do ask this morning for receptive hearts, for understanding hearts, that we may hear and apply your word to our life. Teach us, Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you go back to the Christmas story, can you imagine what it must have been like for Joseph and Mary? I mean, here you are, married, engaged. In those days, it was pretty much like being married. If you were engaged in those days, if you were betrothed, if you were to break off that engagement, you literally had to get a divorce. So here you are getting ready to get married in the stage of engagement, and you find out that the girl you're engaged to is pregnant. Now you know that you've done nothing. She says she's done nothing. What do you do? Well, the easy way out would be to call everybody in town and say, look, I had nothing to do with this. It was all her. I'm dumping her. The Bible tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want any way, in any way, to hurt Mary whatsoever. So even though he didn't understand it at the time, his decision was to put her away, but to do it privately. Then an angel comes to him. Says, look, what's in Mary is of God. And we don't want you to do what you're thinking of doing. You need to go through with this marriage. Now you have a problem. Now you have a problem. Because this world in that day is now looking at you and they are thinking that you and your wife-to-be did something you shouldn't have done. And it wasn't like today. There was a stigmatism that was with that. Now, you might say, well, all you got to do is tell everybody, look what's in Mary's of God. Right. They had this giant in front of them that they had to deal with in a world that simply would not understand. In fact, they would deal with this thing for 30 years. Jesus performed his first miracle and began to tell everyone, look, I'm of God. I think in all of our lives, we face giants. We face difficulties. We face problems that hit us head on, sometimes surprise us. Things that you can't run from. Things that you can't hide inside a drawer. And things that you have to deal with. And they're giants. Sometimes they're physical. My mom's going through it right now. Sometimes they're financial. Sometimes they're work-related. Sometimes they're family-related. Someone you love maybe passes, and you try to deal with that difficulty, and you try to get through it. Well, there is an easy way. Just like Joseph had an easy way, there's an easy way out of every giant that you face. All you got to do is turn and run. All you got to do is give up. All you got to do is the rest of your life moan and complain about all the troubles in your life and just be miserable for the rest of your life. That's all you got to do. You know what? That's where a lot of people go. So what we're going to look at this morning was a very real story. It's not just a little story that you tell your children that's kind of make-believe to encourage kids or just give them a good story out of the Bible. It is a very real event that happened in history. About a young boy who faced a giant and won. And from his life, we can learn some principles that when we face our giants, we also can win and not lose. I want us to look at a couple things this morning. Number one, look at the challenge of Goliath. Begins in chapter 17 and verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Soko and Aiskah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah. And they drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him, and he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are not you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Israel and the Philistines line up for battle on either side of the mountain with a great valley in between. Both armies ready to fight. Both armies ready to rush down into the valley and begin to just kill one another. But there was a problem. The Philistines decided that they would fight this battle by way of champion. And the idea of the champion was, as we read here, is I would take my best fighter and you would take your best fighter and we will let them go down in the valley and we will let them fight instead of everyone dying and everyone being killed. Let's just let the two of them fight. Whoever won would be the victor. And the entire peoples and the entire army of the loser would become the servants of the victor. The idea being, why let thousands upon thousands of men die? Let's just let two fight. Now, if you fought this kind of battle, you would surely want to fight this kind of battle if you had someone who was a great fighter. I mean, if you had a great fighter, you'd be willing to go against any army in the world and say, "Hey, you come out and fight our guy. We know our guy's going to beat your guy." Kind of like when you were little, at least when you were little, maybe boys, you would talk to the other boys and you would say, "Hey, my father's bigger than your father," or "My brother's bigger than your brother. So we'll send out our champion." Well, it just so happens the Philistines had a champion by the name of Goliath, and he was a big guy. I mean, he was a big guy. If we take the measurements that are here concerning him, it says that he was 6 cubits tall and 1 span. Well, if you take these measurements, kind of round them off, a cubit was about 18 inches. So you multiply that by 6, you have 108 inches. A span was 9 inches. So you add that to the 108, you come up with 117 inches. You divide that by 12, we find that Goliath was 9 feet, 7 and a half inches tall. So he's just a little bit shorter than me, if you can imagine that. Now, at 9 feet, 7 and a half inches tall, you take approximate weight. He probably weighed somewhere between 400 and 500 pounds. He was a big guy. Now, I might say, you know, a guy this big, there's no way he ever could have existed. Well, according to the People's Almanac book, they list 13 people that were over 8 feet tall. In fact, four of them were 9 feet tall, and three of them weighed over 1,000 pounds. So we have a man that's 9 feet, 7 and a half inches tall, weighing about 400 to 500 pounds, and he has, according to our measurements here, around 125 pounds of armor on. Some of it covered his chest and his back. Some of it covered his shins, so that if someone tried to hit him with a sword or a spear, he'd have some protection. His spear, we're told in verse 7, was the shaft like a weaver's beam. That kind of a shaft in those days would have weighed around 17 pounds. The head of his spear, according to the measurement here, weighed 15 pounds. This guy was not only big, this guy was strong. He comes running out to Israel and he says, look, you guys choose a guy. We know who our guy is. Let's fight. Well, the Israelites begin looking at each other and saying, you know, I'm not going. Are you going to go? No, I'm not going. You going to go? I'm not going. Well, why don't you go? No, not me. Well, let's find somebody else. No, I don't think I'll do it. Well, Saul, how about you? You remember the Bible? The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 9 that Saul was a head higher than everybody else. Saul was a pretty big guy, but not as big as Goliath. Saul was the one who should have gone. He was the king. But Saul, just like the rest of the men, notice in verse 11 it says they were dismayed and greatly afraid. There was not a man in Israel that felt that he could be the representative fighter for Israel and defeat this giant. Well, we move away from this scene in the battle. And in verse 12, it says, now David was the son of an Ephratite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest of Jesse's sons had followed Saul to battle. And the names of the 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. Morning and evening. He came out before the Israelites, walked down into the battle with his shield bearer, and says, why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. 40 days, morning and evening, 80 times, choose a man and let him come down to me. Now, in between these times, they would often have little skirmishes, but there was no great battle because they wanted a battle by champion. The Bible tells us the Israelites were afraid. By this time, David's already serving in the court of Saul. By this time, David has already been anointed king, although nobody knows. Look with me at verse 17. Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers an ephod and his parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their thousand. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to battle, to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, make his father's house free in Israel. And as this is going on, David comes up to this battle line to see what's happening. Now, why you notice up to this time, the Philistine Goliath is coming to Israel and saying, look, you guys, the army of Saul, come out and meet me. Up to this time, the Israelites are scared to death, cowering in fear. The challenge of Goliath. In all of our lives, at one time or another, we face a giant like Goliath. We face that battle that comes our way. We face that thing that sometimes causes fear, that thing that sometimes makes us want to not come off the mountain and not go down in the valley and face the giant. But in this case, there was a man who was ready to confront Goliath. Notice, secondly, the confrontation with Goliath. Begins in verse 26. And I believe as we look at this confrontation, we can learn some principles that will help us as we face our giants in our own lives. Let me give them to you this morning. Number one, be concerned for God's glory. Every time you face something in your life that is a giant, something that is very difficult to deal with, again, maybe it's financial or physical or emotional or a family issue, every time you come up to a giant in your life, there are principles that you can learn to go out and face that giant, and not just face the giant, but win. The first is you got to be concerned for God's glory. If you're going to win over the battles in your life, it must not be about you. It must be about Him. And I want you to know, when we come to this point in the story, it all changes. It changes from talking about Goliath and talking about Saul and talking about the Philistines and talking about the men of Israel. It is all going to change. Because there's a young boy, probably around the age of 17, who no longer looks at the Philistines, no longer looks at the Israels in light of army facing army. But he looks at everything in light of God. Verse 26. And David said to the men who stood by, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? If you mark your Bible, I would underline that question. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? What concerns David is not that this guy might beat them in battle, but that this guy's coming out and he's defying the armies, not just the armies of Saul, but the armies of God. See, David saw everything in light of our relationship to God. Verse 27. People answered him in the same way, so shall it be done to the man who kills him. You know, when we face giants in our life, we need to think about how it affects God, how it affects the name of God. What happens to God's name as we face this giant? If we lose the battle, what's going to happen in the name of God? If I act in a bad way or a rotten way as I face my giant, if I quit and give up, if I get depressed and no longer willing to live life, how does it affect his name? See, we may not care about what people think of me, but we ought to care about what people think of him. And in the Bible, it talks about having a good family life, not just so that you could be more happy, but because it might affect the name of God, might affect our testimony. See, if we're going to win against our giants, it doesn't matter what people might think of you or me. It doesn't matter that we win just so we can feel better about ourselves. But we need to defeat our giants because of the name of God. See, if you name Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you say to people around you that you're a Christian, if you go to church Sunday after Sunday and you say that you live by the Bible and that you are a believer and that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord, and then you go out on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday and you live a defeated life, if you're all depressed, if you've given up on life, if you groan and moan all the time and you're just like the rest of the world and you say, oh, you know, life stinks and everything's horrible and I wish I'd die tomorrow, then you need to realize the name that you're really hurting is his name. See, because we tell this world that Christianity makes a difference in your life. We tell this world that being a Christian means something. We tell this world that God will help them through their problems if they will just turn to him. And then they look at the way we live our life and they say, oh, really? They look at your family and say, well, if your family has God, what's he doing for you? See, if you're going to name the name of Jesus, you have to live in light of his name. You have to win over the giants in life because what you do affects his name. Jesus said we ought to live in such a way that when people see our deeds, they will glorify our Father in heaven. I wonder, when people look at your life, do they say, I don't know what they have, but I want it. I don't know what's going on in their life, but when I face giants and they face giants, man, I lose, but they seem to win. People look at your life and say, well, if that's Christianity, I don't need it. If that's Christianity, I don't want it. Because their Christianity doesn't do any more for them than my whatever does for me. See, when David comes to the battle line, he doesn't look at it as just a fight between champions. He looks at it as, what's going to happen to God's name if we lose here today? So, we're going to face our giants, we need to be concerned for God's glory. We need to be concerned how what we do affects God's name. Secondly, if we're going to face giants and win, we're going to have to deal with criticism. We need to make sure that we overlook it or we overcome it. Look at verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption. The word presumption speaks of pride and the evil of your heart. For you have come down to see the battle. The oldest brother is talking to the youngest brother. I know what this is like. I am the baby of the family. I have two older brothers. I know what it's like to have older brothers, so I know what he's going through. His older brother looks at him and says, what are you doing here? Go home. We're busy. He says, I know who you are, David. I know why you're here. You're proud. You have an evil heart. And you're just down, so you're going to watch the battle. You're just going to kind of sit on a rock and watch this big fight. Why don't you just go home already? And I love the answer. I've said it. Verse 29. And David said, what have I done now? Was it not but a word? What did I do? Verse 30. And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. As soon as David begins to ask what's going on, immediately his oldest brother begins to criticize him. And I want you to know everything he said about David was untrue. David hears this criticism and says, what did I do? I didn't do anything. David immediately turns away from his older brother and he begins to talk to other Israelites. And he begins to ask them the same questions he had asked before. In other words, he heard the criticism, but he overlooked it. He heard the criticism, but he overcame it. You know, when you're facing a giant, one of the worst things you need in facing a giant is to have people criticize you. One of the things that'll discourage you more than anything else is you're trying to face a big battle in life and everybody's standing around you criticizing you. You know, if it's a non-Christian, in fact, unfortunately, sometimes even those who profess Christianity, they will look at you and say, all right, where's your God now? All right, where's that Bible you talk about now? If you're going to defeat giants in your life, you have to be able to overcome criticism. You have to be able to hear it in one ear, let it go out the other, and just keep on going. You have to be willing to say, people are going to talk against me, people are going to say things about me, and often it's not going to be true, but I'm just going to keep on moving forward. That's what David does here. In fact, not only that, but notice this thirdly. Third principle, stand alone for God if need be. Stand alone for God if need be. There are going to be people that come around and say, you know what, this giant's too big for you. This problem that you're facing, it's just too big for you. Why don't you just give up or why don't you just go and do something else? Verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Now, David's a 17-year-old boy. They got military guys, men, grown men all over the place. This young boy says, guys, you know what? Don't worry, I'm here. And Saul said to David, you are not able. Underline those four words. You are not able. Someone's going to say that to you in your life. You're going to face a giant. You're going to go out ready for battle. And someone's going to say, you know what? You're not able to do this. You're not able. You're going to fail. I remember when I was knocking on doors to start this church. Very first building we rented was on Calvin Street. We had a lady across the street, and I knocked on her door, and I invited her to worship. And she said to me, you're going to fail. There's no way. You're going to be able to do what you want to do. You're going to fail. He says to him, you're not able to go against the Philistines to fight with him. For you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth. How are you ever going to fight Goliath? Look how big he is. Look how little you are. He's a fighting man. You're not. You're a keeper of the sheep. He's a man of war. Saul belittles David. He's only a 17-year-old boy and he's inexperienced. But you know what? He was the only one willing to go fight Goliath. He was the only one who said, I'll go. Everyone else said, no, we're too afraid. Let somebody else go. There are many people in this world that are absolutely unwilling to help you fight your battles, absolutely unwilling to face giants, but they are perfectly willing to criticize you when you're ready to go. You stand up, you get ready to go, they'll tell you every reason in the world why you can't do it. They'll tell you every reason in the world why you're wrong for going to fight the battle. They'll tell you every single way that you won't win. Sometimes you got to stay in alone. Sometimes you have to stand alone for God. Sometimes you have to step out and say, if no one else will go, I'll go. If no one else will help me, it doesn't matter. I'll go in the name of God. If no one else is ready to lift a finger, I know that God is there. And when I lift up my eyes, I know that my helper is there, the creator of heaven and earth, and he will not let my foot be moved. There are times in life where you need to stand alone. Number four, base present challenges on past victories. Saul's telling me he can't go. Notice David's response, verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of its mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. Why? For he has defied the armies of the living God. David says to the king, you know what? In the past, God helped me defeat the lion, and God helped me defeat the bear. And if I won those victories, God's going to help me with his present victory. And because I won those victories and God helped me through, I know I can win this battle. He took the past challenges he had with God and the past victories, and he said, I'm ready for this because God has helped me in the past. You know, I'm amazed at people that say that they love God, they know God, they've seen God work in their lives, they've seen God do great things in their life, but every new challenge they face, they fall apart. Well, if God's helped you in the past, you think he's not going to help you today? And if God helped you in your past, can't you trust him for today? See, the Bible says that God has taken us through trials, and the trials are multicolored. And God's taking us through these trials so that as we go through them, we'll develop perseverance. And as we develop perseverance, it will be complete in our life so that we will become mature, not lacking anything. It says that in the book of James. So God takes us through all these trials. Why? So that we will become stronger, so that we will learn to persevere, so that the battle that may have caused me to be scared to death yesterday, man, I'm ready for it today. And the battle that was too big for me a year ago, man, it's no big deal for me now. Why? Because I've learned that when God has helped me in the past, he'll help me in the present. And I've taken those past victories, and I've learned from them, and I've grown from them, and I know that this giant that stands in front of me, man, if I beat the lion, if I beat the bear, what's a Goliath? So we need to learn in life that we take those past victories and we use them for today. God's not going to leave you. God's not going to forsake you. He loves you. If he was there for you yesterday, he'll be there for you tomorrow. Surely be there for you today. That's what David is saying. Saul's giving him all the reasons in the world why he can't do it, and David's giving him all the reasons in the world why he will do it. Number five, know that God can use you. Know that God can use you. Look with me at verse 38. Well, we skipped 37, so let me go back to it. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. And he put a helmet of bronze on his head. And clothe him with a coat of mail. Mail is kind of like a little piece of metal that would keep things from getting through it. Sometimes they use leather. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Know that God can use you. See, here his abilities were challenged, and here Saul said, all right, I'll give in to you. I'll let you go and fight the giant, but put on my armor. But problem was, it was Saul's armor, and it wasn't David's armor. God called on David to go out and fight Goliath, and David was going in the name of God. David needed to go with what was in his hand. David needed to go with what he knew. David needed to go in his abilities. See, the problem for so many today is, you know, you hear that something is needed to be done. You hear me maybe say there's a ministry that needs help. You hear a challenge set out, and you say, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't do that. You know, I can't do anything. I'm just me. All I can do is sit in this chair, and, you know, I can't do anything. And I think in the midst of that is an awful lot of false pride. Awful lot of selfishness. Awful lot of calling God a liar. Because the Bible says God has gifted every Christian to go out and serve God, but we sit there and say, oh, I don't have any abilities. I can't do anything. It's not what God says. David takes off the armor. He grabs his sling. Center of the sling was called a pan or a cup. In it, they would put a piece of stone or something else. The string that went to this cup was often made out of goat's hair, tied on either end of the cup. Cup was made out of leather, often. The Bible says in Judges chapter 20 and verse 16 that the Benjamites had 700 left-handed slingers who could hit a hare. These guys were very good with slings. If you ever played with a sling, maybe as a child, you might have thought, oh, I can't do anything with this, but if you get used to using a sling, you could use it really well, and you could use it really well for battle. David could not go as Saul because he wasn't Saul. But David could go fight the giant as David, and David could go in the power of God. And when you face your giant, you don't need to pretend you're somebody else. You don't need to go out in somebody else's name. You don't need to go out and do it as someone else would do it. You need to go out as yourself with what God has given you, with the Holy Spirit's help and strength, with everything that God has given you to live your life. David could not be Saul, but he could be a really good David. Don't try to be somebody else. Now, as you go out and fight that battle, it's very important, number six, that you look to God for victory. Look to God for victory. Look at verse 41. Now the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with a shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistines looked and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? In those days, dogs were not like dogs today. In those days, a dog was nothing basically but a piece of garbage. Am I a dog that you came to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and your into the beasts of the field. Philistine's mad. He's used to fighting these battles with the best fighter of the other army. And here comes this 17-year-old young man with a sling in his hand. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that day all, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword or spear or end spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. And the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and he killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. David comes out to meet this battle in the name of God. He said, I go in the name of God. I go in God's strength. And notice he says, I will win. It's not pride. That's coming and facing a giant when you know that you face the giant not by yourself, but in the strength and power of God. And he kills Goliath. And he cuts off his head. You know, Goliath was really big. And most thought he was too big for David to beat. In fact, he was too big for anyone to beat. And I'm sure that he had fought many other champions and won many other battles. But for the person who looked to God for health, for help, there was victory. In fact, a victory that no one thought he would win. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in the book of Ephesians, where it says that God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Let me ask you this morning, how big is your God? See, it doesn't matter how big you are. It only matters how big your God is. Is the God that you serve the creator of heaven and earth? Is the God that you serve the creator of the universe? Is the God that you serve the God who helps you face your giants and win? Or is the God that you serve just the God that you name on Sunday? See, we need to defeat our Goliaths not for our own glory, but for his glory. Not so that people won't say bad things about us, but so people won't say bad things about him. You know what? If you depend on God, there's not a Goliath out there that you can't defeat. Let's pray. Father God, you know better than we do the challenges and the giants that we face. Help us, Lord, to walk in faith. Help us, Lord, to get rid of all that false humility that says, I can't do anything. Help us, Lord, to walk positively and say that I can win this battle with the help of God. Help us, Lord, to defeat our giants, to defeat our Goliaths. And I pray, Lord, that we may do so, that your name may be uplifted. Father, as we go out this week, I am sure there will be people here that face giants that they did not expect. Help them, Lord, to remember the story of David and how he faced his giant. And one. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.